The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join in with us once again. And before we get started, I just want to remind the listeners that we are not rendering any legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If you need that, then we strongly recommend that you consider connecting with one of your existing advisors. If you don't have any advisors, then there's no question we would be happy to try to figure out if we can work with you and help you meet your objectives. To do that, go to our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com, just like it sounds. And top right, you'll see a forms link. And from there, we've got a page that has, I think, four forms on it. If you would fill out the first one, that would be enough to get us started, the client profile. And then if you're wanting to utilize retirement funds, be it IRA or 401k, if you'll fill out the second form, that would be the retirement profile. That would be very helpful for us to understand what you might have to deploy. And then I also want to suggest that after you've submitted those forms, go ahead and the link next to the forms link is a call link where you can schedule a call and set up a time that we can discuss what we see in terms of your current financial makeup and your goals and objectives, and see if we can possibly help you get from here to there. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to mention is we do a lot of work with clients investing in real estate private partnership syndications. These are partnerships that involve multiple investors passively, that's a key word, pooling their funds into a partnership under the United States Security Exchange Commission rules, and it's specifically the crowdfunding statute. And a syndicator is one who is essentially leading or puts the transaction in play. They normally will identify a property. They'll perform due diligence to decide which property or properties the partnership will seek to acquire. They will arrange for the acquisition, including undertaking the necessary debt placement. That's not something you will need to do or shouldn't need to do it. And they will also undertake the equity raise, and that's where you would be providing capital along with the other partners. That person in that sponsor, syndicator, or lead partner role is serving as the manager, and the manager role will also be tasked, in addition to the above items, with managing the ongoing operation of the partnership and its assets throughout the partnership's existence. And for those of you that have never been a partner, you've got a lot to learn, and I would be very reticent to jump in without you having some education, perhaps not necessarily formal, you know, university program, but don't just assume that everybody is looking out for you and these partnerships and these types of transactions. You need to have a little bit of savvy, or you're engaged with a CPA or other tax professional that understands partnerships, which are not all that common, and make sure that before you sign up, you know what you're signing up for, because there's a lot of partnership rules and regulations that seem, I shouldn't say the word odd, but it's a different type of animal than what you might be used to if you went and bought your own piece of real estate, in terms of what might be coming down the pike for you. Let's see. I also want to mention that we do not sell investments, partnership or otherwise, nor do we recommend or promote specific investments, syndicators, sponsors, or lead partners. Rather, again, we assist with your understanding of what you're signing up for regarding any opportunity that you might happen to be considering, or that you maybe hear us mention. We will mention from time to time certain projects that are going to be coming to fruition, and those mentions are not to be taken as a recommendation, but rather an announcement, perhaps, to make you aware that, hey, here's the type of transaction that we look at for clients from time to time, and let you know that, hey, we're available to help you if you like. Okay. We're always seeking to talk about your period of life where you refocus. I know many others refer to that as retirement. I've never been fond of that word, even though I have to mention it. Otherwise, at times, you won't know what I'm referring to. But we think of retirement as a refocus, where you're not hanging up your cleats, so to speak. You're just playing a little different ball game, or maybe a little different pace, and could be a faster pace. I know a lot of my clients feel that way, but bottom line is you've still got some living to do, and that creates opportunities and that creates some risk. And I found the recent article, the recent announcement by Elon Musk. On the one hand, I'm rooting for him, but on the other hand, I'm wondering, which group of people is he talking to? Is it people solely in his billionaire class, or is it you and I, or others, lay people, let's say, or common people? And you may have seen the topic I'm referencing. He recently said, I think it was back in February, at least that's when the articles that I've pulled are dated. But he quote, Elon Musk says you can skip retirement savings in the age of AI. This is an article that was on Fox News site, and the rest of that title is not so fast. And I can understand, and I would say that, there's certainly going to be enough advances in AI that will change the nature of retirement savings. But I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not smart enough to understand all the advancements and all the things that are going to happen. I generally understand, it's going to lower costs. It's going to speed up innovation. Let's see. I think he's got a list, or the article, the author has a list of things. I'll get to it in a minute. I see it's further down. But, you know, assuming that's true, and again, Elon Musk has done a lot of things that I will promise you the same as people that are saying, nah, this is impossible. They probably said it in some measure about other things he has accomplished. So I'm a fan, but I'm also realistic. And I think, you know, even if what he says is true, I'm going to tell you to say that you can skip retirement savings as something that's perhaps a bridge too far. And I would rather say, hey, this gives you maybe an ability to plan better with fewer resources, perhaps. But, you know, if you look back at the change in technology, of course, the change in technology in our historical sense, I think, is not necessarily the best indicator of what AI will bring to the table. I think it's going to be much faster and on a much larger scale. And so I do expect cost to be lower and, you know, the time continuum to collapse a bit where things happen faster. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to continue saving as you're saving. Continue to make your retirement plan contributions if you're the one driving the wagon. And I emphasize you need to be the one that's managing those dollars, whether it's putting them into real estate private partnerships or putting them into other assets that you control, not necessarily a brokerage house. And that's what we can help you do with the real estate opportunities that are out there. But anyway, I do want to cover that article in a bit more detail. And I guess since we're coming up on the 20-minute mark, we probably ought to go ahead and take a break. And then when we come back momentarily, I'll get into more of that article. We'll be back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it?
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I talked for a bit there about Elon Musk's recent statement that kind of set off, I guess, the financial retirement world, planning world, saying that, you know, with AI, the age of AI upon us and all the benefits that it's going to bring, we can skip scrimping for our retirement. And Fox News has an article saying, you know, the billionaire's advice to stop saving for retirement is reckless for ordinary families, and it could be. I'm not sure what all the underpinnings of this statement are, but I'll promise you, Musk has a better understanding of the technology and what's coming than you or I, likely, or at least me. I really don't have much of a clue other than the small pieces that affect my world, my profession, etc. But anyway, let's take a look at this article. I've also got one from Fortune pulled up, and we'll run through that one as well. Let's see. I'm going to start at the top, even though I've already mentioned some of this. Billionaire Elon Musk recently told people not to worry about squirreling money away for retirement because advances in artificial intelligence would supposedly make savings irrelevant in the next 10 to 20 years. Well, okay, the first thing I see there is if you're 65, 75 years old, our world really hadn't changed all that much for the predominance of the period that we actually do need to save for or have savings already. Anyway, goes on, the article continues, let me translate that into plain financial English. Don't bother preparing for your future because robots and automation will take care of it. That may sound exciting on a podcast. Author goes on to say, even on my own Red, White, and Green podcast, it may even sound comforting to those who don't have a 401k plan. Well, you know, 401k plans are certainly not the be-all, end-all if you're behind on your retirement savings, unless you happen to have fed some real estate private partnerships into those 401s, as many of my clients have. The right type, it's a self-directed 401, not the one you have at your big company employer. Call us if you have questions about that. In any event, but for everyday Americans trying to plan their financial lives, it's reckless advice. And continuing on, he indicates the reasons. First, Musk is a visionary entrepreneur who is also worth hundreds of billions of dollars, somewhere between 600 and 750 billion, depending on the day of the week. Those two facts matter. When you already have generational wealth, it's easy to talk about a future where money doesn't matter. Most families don't have that luxury when many are just scraping by the promise of Social Security in the future, since it's an unknown. Your retirement isn't a science experiment. It's groceries. It's housing. It's health care. It's dignity. And those bills don't wait for AI. Those bills can't be picked up by a Tesla. And I sense a little bit of cynicism on behalf of this author. Musk's argument rests on a futuristic idea that artificial intelligence and robotics will create so much productivity that scarcity disappears. And in this world, goods become cheap, income becomes universal, and money loses importance. That's an interesting theory. However, since the dawn of time, money and power have always mattered. And it's certainly not a financial plan. It assumes three massive things will happen perfectly. Technology advances on schedule. That would be a first. Wealth gets broadly distributed and government systems adapt smoothly. History tells us that technological revolutions don't spread benefits evenly, and they usually concentrate wealth first and fix inequality later, if they ever do at all. Just ask Musk. Ask factory workers displaced by automation. Ask retail employees replaced by self-checkout. Ask taxi drivers competing with ride-sharing apps. Technology doesn't automatically equal financial security. Meanwhile, back here in reality, Americans are facing rising health care costs. Nothing new there. Expensive housing, stubborn inflation, and record household debt. Social Security already faces long-term funding challenges. Pensions are disappearing. Many workers don't even have access to employer retirement plans. That's the environment people are retiring into right now. It's not utopia. Moving on, and here's the most dangerous part of Musk's message. As a person giving financial advice for almost 35 years, it encourages people to delay action. If someone in their 30s or 40s hears this and decides to stop contributing to their 401k, skip their Roth IRA, or pay down their mortgage, the lost time compounds forever. You lose that snowball effect. Compound interest works best when you start early, not when you're hoping Silicon Valley saves you. Hope is not a strategy. Let's do some simple math. A 40-year-old who stopped saving for retirement for 10 years waiting for an AI miracle could easily miss out on hundreds of thousands of dollars in future retirement income. That's not theoretical. That's real money driven by real markets. Even if AI dramatically reshapes the economy, and it likely will, money will always buy something incredibly valuable called optionality, the ability to have choices. Savings gives you flexibility. They give you independence. They give you negotiating power over how you live, where you live, and when you stop working. They protect you from medical surprises, disruptions, market downturns, and policy changes. A future with advanced technology doesn't eliminate risk. It changes the shape of it. And let's be honest about something else. Even in Musk's dream, or even in his dream world, someone still controls the machines. Someone still owns the platforms. Someone still collects the profits. Betting that those gains will automatically flow to everyone equally is optimistic at best. So should people planning for retirement take Musk seriously? As a dream experiment, sure. As day-to-day financial guidance, not a chance. Here's my takeaway. Now, this is the author writing this article on Fox News, foxnews.com. Here's my takeaway from all of this. Keep funding your retirement accounts. Take the free employer match. Build your emergency reserve. Invest consistently on a monthly basis. Reduce high interest debt. Diversify your assets. And review your plan annually. I didn't see anything about Roth conversions. And that's typical of many financial planners. They don't understand them enough to strongly suggest and encourage that you undertake a Roth conversion if you have pre-tax retirement assets, which is something we do a lot of. If AI creates abundance someday, great. You'll enter that future with real assets and not real anxiety. But if it doesn't arrive on schedule or doesn't benefit everyone equally, you'll be very glad you didn't outsource your retirement to a prediction made by Elon. You can't retire on optimism. You can retire on preparation. So, you know, I think, you know, it certainly gives the other side of the argument, even though I really think it's going to be very difficult to put your fingers or your hands around the edges of where AI takes us. But it's going to be markedly better than what we have now, just in the short time elapse that we've had, or time lapse, since, think about the first time you heard the words artificial intelligence. That hadn't been that long ago. And look at where we're at with regard to certain companies, certain products. I know I've got products we use in the CPA business that I can think of more of those products that have an AI component now than don't. And that's all happened within the last 2 years in most cases. So I don't know, if you fast forward 10 years and you've got the order of magnitude of just the past two, and it probably would be multitudes higher, that's something that very well could generate some of what he's talking about. Now, you know, obviously he's not a magician, and there has to be some reality to the inputs and the, you know, the resources it takes to produce. I think that's probably the best takeaway you could take from this article. Let's do this. Let's take a look at, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take our second break, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about the Fortune article. So let's circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. Big dreams and big dreams, and there are many just like me with big dreams and big dreams. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
big dreams. Big dreams. Big dreams and faded jeans.
Oh, 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 oh. This week's Bea Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we've been talking about Elon Musk's recent statement that we can quit worrying about saving for the future, or at least that's how it's been interpreted. I think you probably should think about it as him saying it's not going to cost nearly as much for getting through retirement, which that's welcome. You know, I've talked many times before about how a relatively high percentage of all Americans, I believe it's over the 50% mark, on almost any article that you see about the topic, are behind on their retirement savings. But anyway, and I'm going to pivot just a bit. I was thinking that article was in Forbes. It's an Inc. magazine article, and it's entitled, and this just came out a few days ago, Why You Should Stop Saving for Retirement and Save for Freedom Instead. Investor and author John Coleman insists there's a better way to organize your financial life than focusing on saving for retirement. Well, that's an interesting take. Don't worry about squirreling money away for retirement, quote unquote, Elon Musk opined on a podcast recently. Thanks to the vast material abundance AI will soon create, he predicted, saving for retirement. Thanks to the vast material abundance AI will soon create, he predicted, saving for retirement. This is a quote now. Quote, saving for retirement will be irrelevant. End quote. You will probably not be shocked to hear that the Tesla and SpaceX boss was instantly shouted down by a chorus of experts. While Musk may be a brilliant entrepreneur, his judgment in other areas is clearly shaky. That's easy for him to say. With the future economic impacts of AI unclear, banking on some near-term tech-powered utopia to fund your golden years is a genuinely terrible idea. I'd say that's a genuinely bad summarization of what Musk's overall points were. And again, you know, I don't know who John Coleman is, but as I heard in a presidential debate one time, and it was a reference to Mr. Dan Quayle, Bush's VP nominee, and I can't remember who the Democrat on the other side was, whoever the vice president nominee was. He said, well, I'm going to say Mr. Coleman is no Elon Musk, and just as Dan Quayle was no John Kennedy, I think was the reference, if I remember back. Boy, that takes a stretch. In my memory, that was a long time ago. But anyway, with the future economic impacts of AI unclear, banking on near-term tech-powered utopia to fund your golden years is a genuinely terrible idea. And yet at the same time, people like Mr. Coleman will turn around and recommend you invest in tech with regard to your investment savings and or retirement savings. I'm sure he's recommended assorted tech investments. With no one about to hand out free money, it remains essential to plan how you will fund your lifestyle as you grow older. I agree. And we've got a longer lifetime to fund than we used to. According to the IRS tables, most men will live, the life expectancy is 85 to 86 years old. Most women's is 87 to 88 years old. That's a long time. If you retire or refocus, as I like to say, by your 65th year. So, you know, you think about 20 years at what you're currently spending, add in maybe some medical cost. I don't know. It depends on whether you've got, you know, Medicare and a supplement or standalone Medicare, perhaps. But in any event, you would probably add in some aspirational spending. You want to take the grandkids to Disney occasionally. You may want to travel yourself, which that doesn't necessarily have to be expensive. In fact, part-time living abroad would be one of the smart things you could do, and cutting your overall living expense if you do it right. And at the same time, have this AI output be a pleasant surprise for you. You know, that would be awesome if we could all cut it. I don't care about getting it for free. Just give us a cut in the cost of living, you know, currently, day to day, and into retirement. And I think it's, I would say it's pretty much inevitable that that pace is already easily achieved to do something material. With no one about to hand out the money, the free money, stop just past that. It remains essential to plan how you will fund your lifestyle as you grow older. But that doesn't mean the idea that you should stop saving for retirement is entirely wrong. In fact, author, investor, and personal financial expert John Coleman says the type of saving, this type of saving is a goal, and you probably should give up on. Let me read that again. In fact, author, investor, and personal financial expert John Coleman says this type of saving is a goal you should probably give up on. Not because fully automating luxury, it's a term, his term, luxury communism is imminent, but I got to stop and think about that. That's quite a use of the term, the communism term, is imminent, but because there's another much better goal to aim for instead. Okay, I'm open for listening. Coleman is the author of a new book, Good Money, and on HBR recently, he argued that the traditional retirement model, 40 years of work followed by decades of withdrawal from it, is out of step with modern life and with what we know about human flourishing. We think we need to scrimp and save in order to stop working. But if you think about what you actually bring you, or what will actually bring you the most peace and satisfaction in your later years, the answer usually isn't endless free time. Boy, you can say that again. Most people think they want retirement, but actually they want freedom. Freedom for what? Freedom to refocus is what I keep saying. They want to control their time, pursue meaningful work instead of obligatory work, spend more time with family, invest in their communities, and engage in activities that give them purpose. That's well stated. What they want is the ability to walk away from work that drains them and the ability to run toward work that energizes them. They want agency and autonomy over, not idleness, Coleman writes. We should be saving for freedom, he concludes. Retirement isn't all it's cracked up to be. This raises two important questions. First, is Coleman right that the traditional model of stepping back entirely from work sometime around age 65 is flawed. Second, if that's true, how does saving for freedom differ from saving for retirement? According to a host of experts, the answer to the first question is a straightforward yes. A variety of studies looking at everyone from entrepreneurs after big exits to Japanese salarymen find that those who retire without a plan to meaningfully fill their time tend to struggle psychologically. I've seen this with my own client base. Money will not protect you from these difficulties. Sergey Brin, that's the Google co-founder, I believe, has spoken publicly about how he felt unmoored and intellectually less sharp after stepping back from Google. As a billionaire, Brin could afford any conceivable activity on Earth. Instead, he eventually ended up returning to working full-time on Google's AI efforts. The Wall Street Journal insists that the psychological pain of purposeless retirement isn't just a problem for workaholic billionaires. We plan for our wealth span and health span, mapping out financial security and financial well-being. Yet very few of us prepare for an equally essential dimension of retirement. Our mattering span, or how we will continue to feel seen, useful, and capable of making a difference in this next chapter of life, claimed a recent article diagnosing a retirement crisis no one warned you about. Seeing retirement as just the end of work without paying attention to continued purpose can have grave consequences, it confirms. One large 2020 study of retirees found that nearly a third experienced depressive symptoms. Other research shows that the psychological losses can often the psychological loss is often embedded in retirement, feeling less valued and needed or connected are strong predictors of post-retirement depression. Again, the need to refocus. Saving for retirement versus saving for freedom. So, yes, in our era of longer lifespans, thinking about retirement in the old way, thinking or saving enough to stop working, is flawed. Most humans don't want to do nothing. They want to choose what they do. Said that many times. Retirement, if you want to use that word, is when you can wake up in the morning and decide where and what you want to do today, where you want to go, what you want to do, what you need to get accomplished to feel like you had a productive day. But how does focusing on saving for freedom differ from saving for retirement practically? First, it changes the goal number you're aiming for. And I'm often surprised at how many people don't know the number. They don't have a feel for what they need. And of course, very few people factor the tax consequences of their actions leading up to the point that they start taking funds out of their retirement accounts. And they seemingly are surprised, I'm not sure why, but they're surprised that they thought they had $2 million in their retirement account, but learned that after tax comes out, it's obviously much, much less. And that's one reason we do strongly encourage you to consider doing the Roth conversion now. While we know what rates are, they're some of the lowest tax rates we've had in our lifetime, and that lets us draw a line in the sand on how much money will be coming out of our retirement funds to pay taxes. And if you have not done that with your pre-retirement or pre-tax assets, you must investigate that and understand that can make a huge difference in your ability to succeed financially, to support whatever lifestyle you think you're going to have or need. And, you know, it somewhat mitigates the need to even worry about these issues that Mr. Musk is suggesting will just go away. Well, they may or may not. If they do, you'll be even further ahead of the curve if you've done the Roth conversion. You know, I think about the impact of what Musk is projecting on the government, and I'm assuming, I'm hoping, that all the same efficiencies he's talking about for the public will be times 10 for the government. Because if it's not, your tax bill is going to go up. And in fact, the taxes will probably go up before the significant changes that AI can possibly bring to the fray have come to fruition, just thinking about it. But, you know, the problem we've got is we got a group in power in Washington, Congress, in terms of spending. They control spending. And when's the last time you saw Congress reverse the trend of spending more money than less money? And I just wonder, will that still continue? If let's assume AI drops the cost, we've got surpluses in tax collections, which that would be shocking. But if it happened, are they just going to go spend it on other, what they think of as priorities? Because if they do, I'm not sure, are we net ahead or do we take, you know, two steps forward and one step back or three steps back? But in any event, let's see, most humans don't want to do nothing. They want to choose what to do. But how does focusing on saving for freedom differ from saving for retirement? Practically, first, it often changes the goal number you're aiming for. Instead of asking how much do I need to stop working someday, the most important question becomes how much do I need to live the life I want now and into the future? Coleman writes, this might look like taking a job for lower pay but greater meaning, or reducing formal work hours to focus on increased community and family engagement. The possibilities are endless. Redefining your goal number means it can offset, often, let's see, it can offset I'm sorry, I lost my spot there. Redefining your goal number means it can often, quote, be reached sooner than conventional retirement, unquote, he insists. Well, I would agree. I think that's especially true with these advances in AI. And to the extent you're focused generally, you're probably thinking about ways of doing things more efficiently and I would assume less expensively. And again, I look at my situation where I live abroad most of the time in a country that the cost of living compared to living here is no more than 35% to 40% of what I would spend to live in America. Well, that makes a big difference when you look at the cumulative, the compounded effect of your retirement cost. And I encourage anybody within the sound of my voice, think about Southeast Asia. It's a wonderful place to be. And you have a friend here. I can definitely save you some time and heartache and cost by assisting your transition. And again, you don't have to throw away the key to America. Part-time living abroad is the end thing now. Look at International Living Magazine. They've got article after article. Certainly Southeast Asia is not the only place, in my estimation, and the way I rank cities, it's the best. And I say cities, I'm referring to Bangkok, where I live. The most fascinating city in the world, even if it wasn't the least expensive or one of the least expensive, to live a lifestyle that's actually higher quality than America. It's hard to believe. Let's see. We got just a couple minutes left here. Let me drill down. I want to get to the end of this concept. The shift from saving for retirement to saving for freedom not only changes the math, it also shifts your mindset. I would agree. When people believe they are saving for retirement, they often defer meaning and joy for decades, holding out for a payoff that may or may not come. Coleman adds, when people save for freedom, saving becomes more about shaping a life rather than enduring one. That's a good quote. Well, listen, we're at the end of the show. We appreciate you joining in once again this week. We will return next week, same time, on both stations, the KSEV AM 700 station and KGBC AM 1540. And we hope you can join us. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.